Okay, so we do have a speaker tonight who's going to share their experience and hope with us for 40, 45 minutes, whatever they're comfortable with, their journey to, into, and through Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm going to hand you over to Helen, who's going to introduce them. So, Helen, over to you.
Thank you, Steve. Hi, everyone. I'm Elena. I'm an addict.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Ellen.
Ellen.
Lovely, this warm welcome. Thank you so much. So I've met the speaker a few months ago in a meeting. In a few meetings, I've attended a few meetings with this person, and I felt outside of the meetings very supported by this person's recovery in action, how she reaches out, and from what I've heard of her shares, you know, how, I mean, facing life on life's terms, how she's working this program. And I really wanted to hear a bit more about her experience, strength, and hope. So with no further ado, Jay, please come and share with us.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you, everyone,
Thank
for being
you.
here. Oh, can you all hear me all right?
Yeah, hi
Good.
Jay,
Thank you,
welcome.
Jay. Hi, I am an addict called Jay, and
Hello,
I.
Jay. Hi, Jay.
There is something
Hi, Jay.
really wonderful about the welcome I get with people that have an accent that's different than mine. It, one, I think it's cool as shit, for lack of a better word. And it also, I feel so humbled and excited that I'm part of this huge international galactical network of people that our rest of society thinks are fuck ups. But we have an unbelievable miracle. I have to say that I'm nervous, or no, I don't have to say. I want to say that I'm nervous. I want to say all these things to downplay or hate on myself before I share so that I can, because my disease will tell me, you're not a real addict. You haven't done yada, yada, yada. My disease wants me to be alone, not in solitude, but alone. And I don't like being alone today. I enjoy my solitude, but I don't like being alone today because I found out that I'm one of those people that I want to go through life with a SWAT team of support. And before I start on my story, I want to share what happened today, and the gift of what this program means to me. Yesterday was Valentine's Day, and I do not have a Valentine, or as my friend says, you have people that love you, but not anyone you're getting naked with right now. And I haven't for a long time, and it's okay. It really is. I do this by choice. And it wasn't my weekend to have my son. I'm trying to encourage, it is now safe for my son to go visit his dad. One time it wasn't. And that's another part of my story I'll get to later. But the long and short of it was, I got a screenshot from my son that his dad, it was his dad's contact card. And, his dad had told him to change his name, which was Poppy. My son's Hispanic. To change it from fat some random guy. And my heart broke for my little boy. And a few 24 hours ago, I would have been in total mama bear. I would have called my ex up and raged at him and screamed at him. May have even gone over there and just grabbed my son and just headed the hightail out of there. But today, you all have taught me that my actions have repercussions for the people around me. And my little boy loves his father. And I love his father too. But an addict who isn't using, who is not using, you know what? I can't call it. Yeah, I can. Okay. Long story short, I sent a text and I said, I know that you thought that that was funny, but it wasn't. I have repeatedly reassured Jax that I loved you and that we were married. Please apologize to your son and change it. Thank you. My first memory of an addictive thought or the hate train in my head occurred when I was 4 years old. I was kneeling by my bed and I told God that it's okay, God. You can take somebody else's burdens and put them on my shoulders because I'm stronger than other people and it's okay. I can take it. I can take it. I can take it. Seemed to be the motto of my youth and for a large portion of my life. I can take it. I don't want you to hurt, so I won't tell you the truth. I don't want you to shed tears because you don't know how to handle my pain, so I won't tell you. I won't tell you anymore because when I do, you don't believe me, or I don't know how to handle your reaction. I wanted to believe that all these good deeds that I did were like little coins so that someday I would be worthy. And my disease progressed, and during that time, during my life, I found ways to let that pain out before I found drugs. I would starve myself. I was very ritualistic. I would only put enough food on my baby plate within this one little circle area. I would burn, ironically, because I wanted to feel clean. I would boil water and put it in the dishwashing sink. Because we didn't have a dishwasher. My dad said that, he had two daughters, they were dishwashers. I grew up on a farm. And I would plunge my hands in and feel a release to the pain. And time after time after time, one of my parents would walk in and say, "That water's too hot," and put on cold water and put it in there. And look at me like, what's wrong with you? And like a zombie, as soon as they left, I filled the tea kettle up again and heated it up. Because no one told me that how I felt wasn't who I was, and that I didn't have to react to my feelings. I could just feel them and let them go. Apologize. I tried to find meaning and self-esteem from trying to be everybody's everything. And I'm trying so hard not to giggle because my dog keeps barking. And I realize that I am sounding like such a somber person, but I guess that's just how I am when I share. Because if I use levity, I'm scared that you won't hear me, or more importantly, my higher power. And so if I'm ever in person and you all see me share at a meeting, oftentimes I have my eyes closed because I don't want to see the reaction of others. Because I still have that little girl that's waiting for somebody to tell her she's worthy. I excelled in academia, and I was always finding ways to run and to hide. These defects of character that they talk about in the steps, I once heard, and I ascribe by our character assets with the volume turned up too high. Because that same fanatic determination of, I will find that blue pill in the middle of the shag carpet, I will find it in, if it fell down the damn litter box, I will find it. Was once, I will become an exchange student. I will have grades good enough. I will thrive and become everything I wanted to be now that I am thousands and thousands of miles away from home in a remote country in Southeast Asia that doesn't have flushing toilets. But even there, I couldn't get away from myself. And the episodes of using, which in the beginning, no, I have to take that back. I was about to say alcohol, and then I remembered, no, my first drug was a prescription from a doctor. And the rush, the I feel powerful went through all the veins in my body, and I felt invincible. So I tried to do what I could to get those. But the periods, I went for long periods without, but then I would drink until oblivion. Always teetered on the edge of the kids that were the bad, you know, the bad kids, you know, wearing black leather and had motorcycles and souped-up cars and drugs in their pockets. I always wanted to be included, yet I wasn't willing to give up my little goody two-shoes outfit and illusions. I came back from overseas and started college. And I want to gloss over quite a bit or skip over quite a bit just because this is not where I feel drawn to talk today. I'm trying to honor that spirit within. Ye who makes the sun rise. I've studied different spiritual practices, and the one that makes the most sense to me is when I'm out in nature and my feet are on the ground, Something's making the sun rise and it's not me. I was so intelligent that I started in another program because my husband at the time drank quite a bit and I was getting concerned. And the manipulative thinking was, oh, he won't come to Alcoholics, not, or sorry, he won't come into the program, but I will leave all the literature everywhere and I will go to meetings and then he'll find out he's supposed to be here. Because controlling people was one of my best highs. Now, my prescriptions were getting more frequent and they weren't always with my name. But at the time, I was, no, they come in a bottle. They're not dangerous. They just help me. September 24th, 2001, I put my head down on a desk in the other fellowship and sobbed and wept because I realized there was absolutely nothing, nothing that I could do to save my then husband from his disease. There was nothing I could do. Ironically, fast forward that 21 years to September 24th, 2022, and that was my second clean date. I need to concentrate on the time since then because I'm too quick to remember how much I would have had if I hadn't given it away. And I need to share why I relapsed. Because I want everyone to know that it was not an instantaneous decision. It was something that came over years and years, like water going over a rock. It slowly eroded the foundation that I had built, that I had built so strongly with the love of the fellowship and my beloved Gail, who was my first NA sponsor, who was the first woman that I had ever met, whose presence at 98 soaking, I mean 98 pounds soaking wet. I don't know what that is in stones or what y'all call it over in the UK. Brought an entire speaker meeting to settle. This little 98 pound woman came up and had her literature and sat down. And the speaker jams where I moved to were unbelievably loud, and it was almost a club atmosphere. I hadn't been around people that talked so loud and wore such bright colors and were so vivacious. And yet, this little woman shined. And like a cat that wants to curl up, I followed her around. And I said, "Can I come talk to you?" And she told me later she was a little bit freaked out, like, "Why is this white chick following me around?" And she said, "Okay." So I drove 45 minutes the next day and I asked her to be my sponsor. And she told me, "Well, I want you to go to meetings for the next 2 weeks and talk to other women, and pray about it." I said, "Okay," but I had no intention of doing so. I have been blessed, like all of us addicts, I think, with that when I want something, I am locked and loaded, and there's no getting around it. Luckily, that is also a gift for things that speak to my heart in a good way. So after 2 weeks, I came back and told Gail, I'm like, nope. Gail came from a different school of thought than I had ever approached. Her sponsor taught her, you start from the beginning. I thought I was ready. I'm like, oh, I can do, I'm ready for step one. And she politely looked at me as if I was crazy and said, how are you going to start a step when you don't know if you're an addict? You don't know what the NA program is. You don't know why you're here or how it works. Start with the symbol in the preface, read it for 30 days. Here's your worksheet of terms to look up. I'm like, terms to look up in the dictionary. Excuse me. I have acronyms behind my name that go, doesn't matter. You're telling me I have to write out definitions. Yes. And when I came back, one of them was wrong. Oh, hell no. I went and found the biggest, thickest dictionary I could find. And the next time I gave her the Latin root and blah, 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 blah. But what Gail had that I didn't was the ability to stay clean. And what she was encouraging me to do was to find the everyday plain meaning of the words so that I could understand that this is a we program. That there is a reason we're here. And what the Narcotics Anonymous program does for me, because I am an addict. Every chapter I read for 30 days. And when I was done, we would have a worksheet and I would go through it. She taught me the importance of reaching out to other women. She suggested that each t meeting I went to, I got numbers of two women in recovery. She suggested that I call two of my sponsee sisters every week, and even just leaving a voicemail. And when we got together, oh, we fought like sisters, we bickered. We laughed, we hugged. And I had that amazing bond that I never thought I'd have. She helped me build an amazing foundation, which held me for over a decade. The day I was going to celebrate 1 year, I called up my sponsor and fired her. It was one of the cruelest things I've ever done, and I thank God I was able to make amends to her before she passed. I then proceeded to jump sponsors as I worked my steps because I was good enough. I was scared to fully embrace the program. And yet, the program was this amazing part of my life. I once upon a time worked in the criminal justice system and in the courthouse, and as a funny, you never, a funny aside here, I was in what we have in the US called drug court. And I was filling in for the day because I made a point to not handle that docket. And lo and behold, somebody came up with their meeting attendance, and it was not Correct. It was forged. And the reason I knew it was forged is because it was my then husband's. And that was not my husband's signature. Needless to say, I always tell people never lie on your court documentation for meeting attendance because you never know who your prosecutor or court personnel is going to be in, and you may spend 30 days in jail. That's the humorous part of we're everywhere. We don't have to come from the streets. I've met many other lawyers in here. I've met other professionals, doctors, professors. And yet, the woman I chose as my sponsor was none of these. See, I didn't need her to teach me my profession. I needed her to teach me how to save my life. I was dying of a type of cancer. The way I looked at it was that I did not know how to give myself chemotherapy. I didn't know how to treat addiction. And I use that as an example because I have to remember that this is a medical condition. It is a spiritual malady that requires a certain process. And for me, that process is staying here. I cannot, under any circumstances, allow my disease to say, oh, you can keep that extra bottle of prescription. You can keep that bottle of wine. Social acceptability is my biggest trigger because I want to look and see and feel like everyone else who isn't an addict. Yet today I can say the feeling of belonging, the spiritual growth. The moments of heart blossoming and even pride that comes from being in the program and working these principles and steps to the best of my ability give me moments like today where instead of striking out at my ex-husband's text, and thereby hurting my son, who has grown up in this program, I can pause, pray, and proceed. I have never been through the steps completely in NA, actually, in any program. I have been, I've done the cha-cha-cha, one, two, three. I've done the tango up to six, and then I stop. It took 5 or 6 years for me slowly eradicating my support and my connection with the people that loved me to cause a relapse that in my heart of hearts would not have occurred if I had given it over to my higher power and just reached out for help because I had those numbers in my phone. And I was attending meetings sporadically, but I was lying. I was lying to everyone. I was drowning in the obsession and compulsion of a job, of what I thought was my dream position. And made a nightmare of a boss, my higher power. Who to this day I still have to recognize that bile rises in my throat when I see her. Because she embodied everything related to that time of a chaos of my own creation. Once my higher power was not even halfway in my view, I stumbled and I fell. And I took my son's medication. There's a lot. I know some people have different opinions on medications or whatnot. I subscribe by what I was taught. If it is prescribed by a doctor that knows that you're in recovery and that you have been completely honest with and you are taking it as prescribed for a condition, then you are not using. Ironically, I take the same medicine as my son. Yet I had never had a problem with it. I would forget to pick it up. But because I was so sick and I had stayed away so long, I swallowed, and the minute I did, it was like this laugh in my head. I'm like, oh my God, what did I just do? My son had grown up in the rooms. He used key tags as teething rings. And at a convention, he stood up on his chair and he goes, I've got 5 years. It took me a month and a half to acknowledge to my home group, which is Recovery in Washington Heights, out of New York City. And I sobbed and I wept. And I mean, it wasn't a pretty, it was not all over place video, just like I gave it up. Please don't go back out there. Please stay. It has been extremely hard to stay here this time, which is why that I'm getting up at 4:30 in the morning and I am on the UK NA audio meeting, and that's where I do service. And that's who I will probably be making my new home group, because I have a hard time doing service in other meetings. I'm going to any lengths to chase my recovery. Because I don't ever want to tell my son again that I went back out. He doesn't quite understand addiction. He just knows that I can't drink. And that, like he said the other day, you're a lot better, mama, when you're in meetings. I'm like, you know what? You are absolutely right. So he's okay with that. And I love that he says little sayings. He can actually do the readings. But at age 11, I wear headphones or make go to a different part of the house so he can't hear, because I want to respect the anonymity of others. We had the absolute wonderful, wonderful gift of being able to visit the UK last summer, and people whose voices I knew, I got to see. And putting those faces and voices and going to real in-person meetings. I hadn't been to an in-person meeting in over 2 years. I live in a remote area. And actually, Highlands and Islands group, you all were one of the first that I found on Zoom that I felt a connection. And you know, standing on the coast of Scotland out, it's Maleg, Maleg. It's the end of the Harry Potter line. That's all I know. Just standing out there, mucking around and just standing on the seashore. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. It's amazing. That's the only, I think that's where I'm going to end up, because I hear, I don't know how many all y'all are old enough to remember this, but there was an Aerosmith song once upon a time ago called Amazing. And that's what's going through my head, because that's what this program is for me today. And I cannot thank you all enough for asking me to share, because I feel completely honored to give back something to this fellowship, which has given me a life and given me people in my life whom I admire and want my son to be when he grows up. That's the NA program. And if calling myself an addict grants me access to this miracle, then I would shout it to my out to the rooftops and claim it on a t-shirt. Except it's against our principles. And nope, I do not want to be the poster child for NA, because it's way, way, way bigger than I am. And I can never encapsulate that. Thank you for being a part of my journey. Thank you for being a part of my recovery. Thank you for allowing me to share. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.